Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, text number 8 to 9. Navidite yasya janma karma va. Nanama rupe gunadoshe vava. Tatapi lokap yaya sambhavaya. Tatapi lokap. Yaya sambhavaya ya. Swamaya tan yakulam rich yanu kalam richati. Na not vidite there is. Yasya, of whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cha, also. Janma, birth. Karma, activities. Va, or. Eva, na, nor. Namarupe, any material name or material form. Guna, qualities, dosha, fault, eva, certainly, va, either, tatapi, still, loka, of this cosmic manifestation, of apyaya, who is the destruction? Sambhavaya. And creation. Ya. He who. Samaya. By his own potency. Tani. Activities. Anukalam. Eternally. Richati. Accepts. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, He comes in the form of a human being, like Lord Rama or Lord Krishna, by His internal potency. He has this immense potency, and in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. Purport. In the Vishnu Purana it is said, Gunams cha doshams cha mune vitita samasta kalyana gunatmako hi. Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, qualities, or faults. He is spiritual and is the only reservoir of all spiritual qualities. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8:4-8, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Tudiskritam, the Lord's activities of saving the devotees, annihilating the demons are transcendental. Anyone annihilated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead gets the same result as a devotee who is protected by the Lord. Both of them are transcendentally promoted. The only difference is that a devotee goes directly to the spiritual planets and becomes associated with the Supreme Lord, whereas demons are promoted to the Brahmaloka, the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Both of them, however, are transcendentally promoted. The Lord's killing or annihilating of the demons is not exactly like the killing of this material world. Although he appears to act within the modes of material nature, he is nirguna, above the modes of nature. His name is not material. Otherwise, how could one get liberation by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The names of the Lord like Rama and Krishna are none different from the person Rama and Krishna. Thus, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one constantly associates with Rama and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore becomes liberated. A practical example is Ajamil, who always remained transcendental to his activities simply by chanting the name Narayan. If this was true of Ajamil, what is to be said of the Supreme Lord? When the Lord comes to this material world, he does not become a product of matter. This is confirmed throughout Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma tami divyam avijana dima muda manushim danam ashrityam. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rama or Krishna, descends to act transcendentally for our benefit, we should not consider him an ordinary human being. When the Lord comes, he does so on the basis of his spiritual potency, sambhavam yatmamaya. Because he is not forced to come by the material energy, he is always transcendental. One should not consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary human being, till names and forms are contaminated, but spiritual name and spiritual form are transcendental. So the translation again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities, or faults. Fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed, comes in the form of a human being like Lord Rama or Lord Krishna by his original internal potency. He has immense potency, and in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahman. I offer my respects to him. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvi Shesha Shindivadi Paskya Dhyade Siddharne. As we've heard before, and probably will hear many more times in the future, that Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, and his pastimes are all identical with him. And that Krishna does not have a material body. He has a body made of knowledge, eternal bliss and knowledge. And Krishna says, as repeated here, janma karma tame divyam evam yove titatvataha tyaktvadeham punarjanma Naiti mam eti sorjana. That one who can understand the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal nature or eternal abode. And then Krishna gives us how to find out about Krishna's tatvataha. Tat means that in English. And tva means a category of things that are perceivable, so that you can point out that this is Krishna and this is what he's like by direct perception. So how to get that direct perception? Krishna, repeat, the whole Bhagavad Gita is about that. How to get direct perception of Krishna. Krishna is introduced as the person who knows everything, who's the source of everything. Now the question is how to get to know him. So another verse that Krishna repeats twice in Bhagavad Gita. Here are three verses that are repeated twice. And that's Bhaktimam Abhijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha Titomam Tatvato Gyatva Vishite Tad Anantara. That one can know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only through devotional service. And when one is fully engaged in devotional service, then he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Now the question is, what is devotional service and how do we perform it? So Krishna says, Matshita Majkata prana, bodhyantas parashparam, katayantas from mamnityam tu shanti charamanti cha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So the science to know Krishna, we learn from the devotees. And there are two different categories of devotees, the liberated devotees and the devotees who are practicing to become liberated. And they have two different levels of knowledge they can help us with, in general. One of them is how to achieve tushiti, and how to achieve ramante. Tushiti means satisfaction, and ramante means ecstasy. That, or as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are two types of instructing gurus. Shiksha guru ke ta krishnara srup antaryami bhakta shesta eduri rup. That one should know that Krishna appears in two forms. One is as the Shiksha guru. Shiksha guru ke ta krishnara srup. Krishna comes in two forms as the Shiksha guru. Antaryami bhakta shesta eduri rup. One of them is known as the super soul, the antaryami in our heart, and the other is the elevated devotee. But there are two types of devotees who we can say are elevated. One of those is one who sees everything clearly. He has no material conception. He sees everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. In other words, he sees them not as an intellectual exercise, but that's how he sees things. He doesn't see anything as different from Krishna. We cannot imagine that. All we can do is try to accept that. That there is a vision where we can actually see everything as Krishna, simultaneously one but different from Krishna. So that's the Bhakta Shrestha, the topmost devotee. But there are other devotees who are practicing sadhana and have become freer from the modes of material nature. And therefore, as they become free, then their vision gradually changes to that of a perfect devotee. So they can give instructions according to their own experience and help others advance towards the perfection of life. The Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Charya, in the true sense of the term, was authorized to deliver Krishna, delivers his disciples with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens them to the activities of devotional service. So, if we're not perfect, if we don't have a clear vision, then we have to repeat the message of those who have the clear vision. Prabhupada said that the child, he doesn't know what this object is. He asks his father, and the father says, it's a pen. So if someone asks him, what is this? And he says, it's a pen, because he accepts the word of his father. Then his knowledge is perfect. The child may not be perfect in knowledge, but because he accepts the authority of his father and repeats what he has to say, therefore the knowledge that he's repeating is perfect. So in order to understand Krishna, what we have to do is surrender. But what does surrender mean? We have to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then we have to do that, and we have to do it with care, at least with care and attention, if not with steadiness and enthusiasm or fixity and pure love. Different stages of advancement and mood and consciousness. In any case, if someone can teach us how to do something with care, with, first of all, convince us that everything here is Krishna's energy, and we have a choice. Either we can accept that and utilize things in Krishna's service, or we can forget that or reject that, and therefore become dictated by our senses in order to fulfill the desires arising in our minds through our past activities. So we have a choice at every moment. We can accept one thing at one side at one moment. We can accept, yes, Krishna is God and everything here belongs to Him, and we should very carefully do our service to please Him. And then the next moment, Maya can say, oh, you're such a nice devotee. Why don't you take a break and fall in Maya for a while and enjoy? And then after suffering for some time, trying to enjoy, Krishna may give us the intelligence, or Krishna's devotee may give us the intelligence, better to give up this enjoying attitude and try to surrender to Krishna again. So that may happen in a moment. It may happen 5 minutes, alternating 5 minutes, may alternate every year, or we may disappear for a lifetime and have to come back and get reminded again. Like Vilamangal Thakur, it is said that he was on almost the perfectional stage of love of God, but somehow or another he committed some kind of offense, and he came back as Vilamangal Thakur and became addicted to what was called a prostitute. Nowadays, we wouldn't call such a person a prostitute, we'd call her a girlfriend. But anyhow, in the Veda culture, they were more strict at that time, so she was called a prostitute. But she was also a devotee, and therefore she reminded him that he should give up this materialistic desire for sense gratification and focus his determination on Krishna consciousness, which he, it is said that Chintamani was acting as a via media for his previous spiritual master to inspire him back on the path of self-realization. Therefore, he had forgot Krishna consciousness at least during a life, partially during his life. But then he was reminded again, although he was on such an elevated platform of devotional service, at least on the beginning stages of bhava. In any case, Krishna says, Shinari Shinara Paramat Buddhya Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinchit Api Chindaya. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction. So that's what we're trying to hear, so we become convinced by logic, by arguments, and things like that. Therefore, Prabhupada generally didn't tell so many stories. He gave a lot of analogies, but he didn't tell so many stories because stories generally lure us into complacency. We get into this enjoying mood that I feel very happy, I'm being entertained. I can turn off my discriminating part of my brain, I can sit down back and relax and enjoy the story. And the more interesting the story is, then the more we relax and try to think this is just a fairy tale. Like yesterday, Adi Purusha Prabhu told the story of the washerman. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's, you know, when you hear that he had, what was it, 1,000 donkeys with clothes on their backs, you just let your imagination just go off into Never Never Land. And that he had done austerities for 1,000 births to see Krishna. And then when he gets his desire fulfilled, the person he wants to see cuts his head off. Unexpected twist to the story. In any case, nice story, but if we hear too many stories like that, then we forget what the whole class is about. But we're trying to become convinced if even the most simple thing, if we become convinced of even the most simple aspect of Krishna consciousness, then we make great progress towards perfection. If we actually are convinced that everything here belongs to Krishna, then practically we're liberated. We will be liberated just by that conviction. But because we're not convinced like that, therefore when we see things, we imagine we fall into the prey of allowing our imagination to direct our activities so that they're not for Krishna, but they're for our sense gratification, gross or subtle. So gradually, it's gradual. It's not that we can expect that all of a sudden everything is going to be revealed, that I can see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, that I'm 100% convinced this is all Krishna's energy, and that I shouldn't do anything without deeply understanding what Krishna wants me to do. Right now, if we try to do that, smoke would come in over our ears, and we could probably do that for 15, 20 minutes, and then we get frazzled. So it's gradually, step by step, once you become situated in trance. So that's what that's our aim, our goal, is to always think of Krishna and never forget him. That's called trance. And how do we achieve that? By means of intelligence. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction. Once you become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction. Gradually, there's too many convictions there. But gradually, step by step, once you become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction. So we have to have intelligence. So it's not enough to understand everything here belongs to Krishna. We also need the intelligence, what Krishna wants us to do with it. And we can only have that intelligence when we actually see things properly, when we see the situation, and we not only are convinced that we should act for Krishna, but we know under these circumstances what to do for Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada is a perfect example of someone who could do seemingly completely opposite things according to time, place, and audience. But they were for Krishna, to help people become Krishna conscious. And if we don't understand that, as Prabhupada said, bhakti shasana, that the perfection of the devotee is not that he does everything perfect from the worldly point of view. He does everything to please Krishna. And he knows exactly what Krishna wants him to do in order to do that. People looking from the outside may imagine that he's doing something wrong. But he knows that this is actually meant to help people become Krishna conscious. Therefore, Prabhupada could give Malechas and Yavanas the sacred thread in spite of all the criticism coming from his godbrothers, because he knew what Krishna wanted him to do. He knew that he should, for instance, marry his young students, because he realized that this would be the only way to actually spread Krishna consciousness. And indeed, in the beginning, the householders were the ones who mainly spread Krishna consciousness. So, by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction. So, without realization, without experience in Krishna consciousness, then it's very hard to keep our intelligence engaged in trying to please Krishna. At least when we hear a class or something, some realization should be there, some of awakening of conviction should be there, that actually Krishna is God and I am his eternal servant and there is an eternal world, etc. Some awakening of some inspiration or conviction should be there, and then we'll be inspired to use our intelligence in Krishna's service, to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then do it in a way that's pleasing to him. That's called intelligence. There's activities performed in knowledge, performed in Krishna consciousness with intelligence, is called enthusiasm, from the nectar of instruction. Activities performed in knowledge, in Krishna consciousness with intelligence is called enthusiasm. So we want to be enthusiastic. We want to be enthusiastic to use our intelligence in Krishna's service, and that comes by hearing about Krishna, understanding Krishna, and then becoming inspired to use our intelligence in his service, and the result is enthusiasm. Krishna reciprocates, and we get a little bit of Ladini Shakti, and we become enthusiastic. And thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So it's a gradual process, step by step. One should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction. So we have, it's gradual, the goal is trance, we have to use our intelligence, and the intelligence can only be sustained when we get realization and therefore become convinced. And therefore the mind will naturally choose to think about Krishna alone, and we won't become attracted by anything else. Now what happens? So what is, it's all gradual. So what do we do? What is the process? How do we get to this point? Shanai shanara uparimet buddhya drita grihitaya atmas yato yato nischalati manakchanchulam astiram tatastatas niyamnai tyat niyamnai tat atmanyeva shamnaya. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So that's called sadhana bhakti. We can expect our minds to wander. As a matter of fact, when our minds don't wander, we start immediately thinking we're great devotees. We can fix our mind for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or even a minute. On hearing the holy name, we think we're liberated. Maya would say, "Oh, you're such a fantastic devotee. Can I get initiation from you too? I want to surrender to you. Give me your number of your bank balance. I'll give you a donation." Then immediately we get puffed up, proud. I asked, "I'm a great devotee. Show our lotus foot to everyone. Yeah, you can touch it. Become liberated too." And then we fall into Maya. Because we're listening to Maya. So we can expect our minds to wander towards sense gratification, mental speculation, and a variety of other things, material desires. But we have to withdraw it and bring it back as soon as possible under the control of Krishna. Under the control of the self. The self is represented by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So if we're seeing things through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we're on the path of perfection. And as soon as we stop seeing things in terms of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then we're in the path of destruction. So that's simple, but that's what our whole thing is, practice to do that. Then gradually we can experience Krishna and know Him as He actually is by that process. That's called sadhana bhakti, pure devotional service. Smartavyaksaratam Vishnur, Vismartat Gatana Kinchit, Sarva Vidhi Nisedya Asyur, Atiyar Eva Kinkara. That Padma Purana states that one should always remember Krishna and never forget Him. That if one does that, then one is satisfying all the rules and regulations. So Krishna is coming in so many forms. He's coming as Lord Varaha, Matsya, Korma, Parasaram, Buddha, Krishna, Rama, but especially Krishna and Rama are dear to us, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dear to us because it's something we can put into practice ourselves. We cannot swim like Matsya. We can't hold anything on our back like Korma. We can't pick up anything with our nose like Varaha. Even a paper clip, we couldn't even do that. But we can follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates and think about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But if we think there is something mundane, then we'll lose our enthusiasm. Because there's a lot more, perhaps nowadays, interesting mundane things to think about. Previously people would go to the 10th canto, but the 10th canto is quite innocent in the description of Radha and Krishna compared to other things you can get into, if that's what you're interested in. So even for this love affair between Radha and Krishna is not very interesting for mundane people. Maybe there's other books that are more interesting, but even those are pale in comparison to the mundane literature nowadays, meant for the crows. Unfortunately, there's a lot of crow-like people, but somehow or another, even the crow-like people can see happy, dancing devotees enjoying themselves, then they may even join in and chant and dance and get a little taste of the holy name. Maybe take some prasadam and get addicted at least to prasadam, and therefore get more and more of an opportunity, like Narada Muni, to hear about Krishna and gradually become convinced that there's a different, we have a different opportunity. We have another opportunity for a happiness other than just mundane sense gratification. So I'll stop there. Kuala, any questions? Avaduta Roy.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says here that Ajamil was transcendental. But if so, how it is possible that he did so many sinful activities? Sinful activities are done because of the influence of the gunas. How was Ajamil on Brahma Buddha and still doing sinful activities?
Right out there. Practical example is Ajamil, who always remained transcendental with his activities, simply by chanting the name Narayan. So when he started to chant the name of Narayan, then he was transcendental. Especially at the time of death, when he chanted the name of Narayan with great feeling, great desperation, then he was transcendental at that time. But not that when he was his normal sinful life, he wasn't chanting the name of Narayan, nor is he transcendental simply by chanting the name of Narayan. Only when he chanted it with great emotion and feeling did he become transcendental. Anything else? That's it. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
So I wanted to ask if you have some hints on how to improve bhakti devotion.
That's another seminar. Be happy. The most important thing is enthusiasm and intelligence. Enthusiasm and understand who you're dealing with so that they become interested in the book. They'll become interested in the book if they see something in it that's interesting to them. So find out what their interests are and then relate the book to the interest and do it as quickly as possible so they don't lose interest. So there's many, many suggestions, but that's some of them. All right, so I think some of our guests from Russia and Ukraine, they're going back, so thank you very much for your visit. We look forward to seeing you again. Have a safe journey, and may Krishna protect you on the way. Krandarai Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.